Grace and mercy and peace to you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. How powerful. How powerful it is to be reminded of youth and of joy and even of some of the silliness that goes along with our children and how they remind us that life sometimes can be easier and even sillier than we make it out to be. Our text is this gospel lesson where Jesus really shares some very challenging words with his grown-up followers. Unless you receive the kingdom of God like a child, you shall not enter it, he said. This is our text and also the source of our challenge. There is a promise here, though, in the midst of it. I want to invite you, as we begin, to reflect on our worship so far today. How was that for you? I wonder, I saw some smiles, I saw some people warming up and loosening up, and I by no means wish to lecture or scold us on the way we sometimes worship. Sometimes, and I'm being honest, I prefer more formal, more serious, more contemplative, more intellectual, more cerebral way of worship. But there are also times and seasons, there are occasions where it's appropriate to dance, to laugh, to even maybe act a little bit silly in God's presence. Like I said, I don't want to scold. Jesus does a little bit of scolding, though, here, and he reminds us of something that it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget this. Now, Jesus is alive. He is the reason we're here. He is risen from the dead, as we heard on Easter Sunday this past year, this past spring. He's risen from the dead then. He's risen from the dead today. He'll be risen from the dead tomorrow. We continue to celebrate in the context of Jesus' life, his resurrection. This is bedrock. This is our starting place and the place where we begin our worship. These are Easters, these little Sundays when we get together on Sunday morning. We do that because of Easter. And so it's a celebration. That's something that I need to be reminded of now and then, and I offer you the same reminder today. It's a celebration. Who knows about celebrations? Who knows about parties? Kids do. You guys do. That's right. In fact, sometimes, at least in my family, you go all year thinking about what kind of birthday party you're going to have when you turn the next age, right? Sometimes parties is your currency, and that's something that you remind us of today, how to celebrate. Now think about the children in your life for a little while. Think about how they invite you into the celebrations, maybe to put on a hat now and then, or to dress up even in full costume. Think about the children in your life. Now, for some of us, and I'm speaking to especially young parents, having children is kind of unavoidable. You have children, maybe, and so you can't get away from them. And sometimes, even as much as you would like to, you can't because they're yours. I have children, they are mine, and so sometimes I have to take responsibility, even though I would prefer to just go and relax somewhere. Now, those of us who have children and who take responsibility for them know that sometimes that's a burden. But it's a burden that we also carry joyfully. For some others, though, perhaps those of you whose kids are grown, or perhaps you never had children of your own, children are a choice. You can either choose to be around kids, or you don't have to. You can either seek out kids in the various places where you might come into contact with them, like somewhere at church, or you can just avoid kids. You can think, well, you know, eventually they'll grow up into people, and then I'll invite them into my life. That's actually how people thought of kids in Jesus' day. They were kind of one of those necessary nuisances. And now, being all honesty, some kids are a nuisance. And kids, I know sometimes we all become a nuisance, don't we? And we have to remember that being around adults sometimes means listening first. But here, in this situation, in this passage where Jesus is teaching his disciples something very important, kids are not a nuisance. That's actually the point here. The text highlights this interesting and awkward situation where Jesus' disciples, along with him, on his way to Jerusalem, he's got some important work to do in Jerusalem. Jesus' disciples think that they're doing him a favor. They think that they're helping him to focus on that important work that he is about, that he is directed towards, and they think they're doing him a favor by chasing away these kids, these distracting little tiny kids. The text says that they're actually infants. The word here is it's a particular Greek word that isn't just little ones, but it's the littlest little ones. It's the babies. That's what's happening in this text. Surrounded by important people, teaching a whole bunch of serious grown-ups, Jesus is confronted with this crowd of kids, these moms who are bringing their babies for Jesus to bless. Now, just pause for 1 minute because I want to provide you with some context in this 18th chapter of Luke. Luke 18 includes several scenes. And as we heard last week, it includes some teaching on prayer where Jesus pointed to this figure, this character, the persistent widow. Remember her? She was the one who prayed again and again and again, and by her persistence, her prayer was answered. So she demonstrates the posture of persistent prayer in God's presence. And then earlier in our passage today, we heard two other characters in Jesus' parable. First, the Pharisee. Remember the Pharisee? He's the one who comes into church or comes into worship, and he's polishing up his sort of ego. He's reminding himself, and he's reminding God, ironically, that he's better than the people around him. And so that's also a posture in worship. Sometimes we struggle with that. And then there's this tax collector, and the tax collector, of course, is one of the lowest of the low in Jewish culture because he's probably cheated his neighbors out of their money and given it to the occupying foreigners. And he's broken by his own shameful behavior, and he's on his face before God saying, "Have mercy on me." Now, if you were to read a little further on, at the end of chapter 18 of Luke, we also find the rich ruler. So that will be next week, the rich ruler who comes to Jesus and says, "What should I do to get what you've got, to get into the kingdom? What should I do?" And Jesus has a hard message for him. And then finally, there's the blind beggar. Jesus comes in contact with this blind beggar right before he goes into Jerusalem, and he heals him. He restores his sight. So among all of those characters, we have this scene where Jesus is with the babies. And it seems to me that there is something intentional about this. In the midst of all those various postures, all of those options which people choose when they come into God's presence, we're faced with this scene, the babies. They remind us that there is another posture when we come into God's presence, to be reminded that we are babies, that we're not even there on our own legs, that we're carried into God's presence, that we have what he has to give as a gift. Not because we've been better than anyone else, not even because we've prayed the right prayer of repentance, but simply because he loves us and we're his children. To recognize that Jesus had time for those littlest babies reminds me that he's got time for me. Before I even begin to understand it, he's got time for me. What does it mean to receive the kingdom of God like a child? I wonder if that strikes you as an invitation or a challenge. It's kind of both, isn't it? What does it mean to receive the kingdom of God like a child? Does it mean that we're supposed to be silly? Well, I'm not sure if it means that we're supposed to be silly, but I think it allows us to be silly. Does it mean that we're supposed to not understand? Well, I don't think it means that we're supposed to try not to understand, but I think it also means that if we don't understand, that's okay with Jesus. What does it mean to receive the kingdom of God like a child? Well, when it really comes down to it for me, I have to stop thinking about these things in an intellectual, contemplative way and just watch how kids do it. They're children, after all, and they will come into the kingdom as children do. And so how do they do it? And so I offer you a couple of simple observations about how do kids come into the kingdom. They come into the kingdom laughing most of the time. They come into the kingdom squabbling with one another and then being walked through the simple act of confessing and forgiving one another. Kids come into the kingdom with joy, expressing themselves. And sometimes we sort of shush them in church, and that's kind of unfortunate, I think. Of course, we all want to be able to hear, but what are we listening to? And can we listen to them? Can we listen to their joy and their exuberance that bubbles up out of a life that is just excited to be alive? On Friday evening, we had a family's games night here at church, and it was wonderful. It was just a well-attended event. If you haven't been to one of those, you're welcome to come, of course. We have them now and then, and so watch the calendars for the next one. We played a game on Friday night that I wanted to share with you. It was quite entertaining. It was simple. It was called Pie Face. Has anyone here ever played Pie Face? We played it together, didn't we? Pie Face is very simple, and the game works just like this. It's sort of just like it sounds. There's this contraption, and you sit at a table, and you spin a little dial, and it gives you a number. And then that number is how many times you've got to click this contraption. Now, the contraption, you put your chin on this little block, and then there's sort of a circle in front of your face and a lever, which is right in front of your face. And you squirt a little bit of whipped cream onto the lever, and then you click the contraption. And however many times you click it, then sometimes the lever springs up and the whipped cream whaps you right in the face. Pie face. Who would have thought that could be fun, right? Of course you would. That's fun if you know how to laugh. If you're embarrassed about getting whipped cream on your face, you might not want to play. And there were those who said, that's not what I'm going to do with my Friday night. I, on the other hand, along with some others, discovered the joy of pie face. Now, why do I share this somewhat silly game with you today? Well, because pie face reminded me on Friday that it was okay to laugh. It was okay to be silly, and it was okay to enjoy the moment with these youngest kids. And isn't that sometimes just the simplest way that kids remind us what it is to come into the kingdom of God? There is a serious business to the kingdom of God. There is important work in the kingdom of God. But that serious business, that important work, what Jesus did. And it's what he did on behalf of all people, by his own sweat, by his own tears and blood. He was the one who took care of business. And therefore, when we come into his presence, we have the opportunity to be free. Free of the responsibility of paying for the sins of the world. He's done that. Free of the responsibility even of carrying our burdens. He invites us to give them to him. Free of the responsibility of even thinking and acting like grown-ups sometimes. Because guess what? You'll be better off and you'll be more able to handle the challenges of your life if you can learn to laugh now and then. Today we're reminded that children are not just a necessary nuisance, but they're actually a reminder that life is full of joy. It's supposed to be full of freedom. And that to learn to laugh in God's presence is important. So, dear friends, here's the invitation to you. Some of us are carrying heavy burdens. Some of us have lives where our responsibilities kind of get heavy. And it's been difficult for me, especially in the last few months, to learn that there are days when I can carry that responsibility and there are days when I don't have to. There are days when I need to be reminded that someone's carrying that on my behalf. Jesus is carrying all of us. It's his responsibility. And so the buck doesn't have to stop with you. If you need to let something go today, if you need to just breathe out and put down that burden, then you're invited to do so. He's the one who's taken responsibility for your life. And you can simply enjoy it. So friends, as we think about the children in our lives, and especially the children in our midst in worship, I want to invite us today to celebrate with them, to remember that we are all children of God, And that someday the big responsibilities that we've been given stewardship of in this life will find their answer in the next life, in Jesus' arms, when we can simply relax and be his kids. I invite you to take that message with you today, to apply it to your life as you see fit, and if it's appropriate, to sing like nobody's listening. That's how kids do it. To dance if you want to. They don't seem to be embarrassed. To play like it's Christmas morning. Do you remember how to play? To laugh with the innocence of a child. Find someone who can tell you a joke. For you are forgiven children of the King, and being a child of God is its own gift. The King has time for his babies, and he has time for you. Amen. Now may the peace of Christ guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the day that he comes at the end of all things to right all wrongs, to dry all tears, and to restore the world to his glory. We look forward to that day. Amen.